The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the difference in cost between eternal salvation and discipleship? What does the Bible say about these? Why do we say salvation is free, but discipleship is costly? What did Jesus say? Some biblical clarity coming your way during the next 15 minutes. From Grace in Focus, thank you for joining us today. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society, our hundreds of free articles, ebooks, books, resources, blogs, videos at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
We have a question from Chuck, and he has a couple questions. The first one is, in response to a statement he's heard or read, and he's encouraged by it, but he wants no biblical, some biblical support for it. And the quote is, "Salvation cost you nothing." And here he means eternal salvation, gaining eternal life, cost you nothing. But discipleship cost you everything, or we might word it, but discipleship is costly. Discipleship is not free. What would be the biblical support? Well, the idea that eternal life is free, Jesus with the woman at the well refers to eternal life as the gift of God.
Romans 4:10. John 4:10. And Ephesians 2:8-9.
Right.
It's the gift of God.
By grace you've been saved, and it is the gift. And by definition, a gift is free.
Or even Revelation 22:17. Receive the water of life. Some translations say without cost, some say freely, but it's a variation on the word gift, the Greek word for gift, and it's free.
Right, and when Jesus says, the one who doesn't receive the kingdom as a child shall not receive, the idea of receiving a gift, shall no wise enter into it.
I mean, so is salvation free? If by salvation he means regeneration,
right,
the new birth, the answer is yes.
Eternal life. So yeah, eternal life is free by faith alone. Absolutely.
Now what about the second half?
Well, the other half of that is, now he wrote discipleship costs you everything, and you and I talked a little bit about this. Is that really the best way to put it? Obviously, there are a number of verses that deal with the, now, by the way, discipleship here, we mean following Christ.
Right.
Living, well, you know, there's other ways you could say it. Living the Christian life, being a servant of the Lord, you know, walking in obedience.
Right.
That is costly. And
in Luke 14, count the cost of discipleship.
Right. Set down and count the cost. No one builds a tower or goes to war without setting down and counting the cost. So obviously there's a cost to it. Mark 8:34-38, Jesus tells the disciples, and this is after Peter confesses him as the Christ.
Right.
They have eternal life, and he talks about denying themselves, in other words, putting their desires aside and putting his first, and take up your cross and follow me. And Luke says, take up your cross daily. And what did the disciples think with this illustration of taking up your cross?
Yeah, they saw that as a very difficult thing. Well, yeah. It's ultimately suffering for Christ.
Right, and certainly taking up your cross in that culture meant literally giving up your life. So in that sense, we could say, well, okay, Jesus is saying this could cost you everything if we say it could cost you your life.
And it did, of course, with the 12, all but John, according to church tradition, were martyred.
Right.
And John himself experienced torture, I think, of some sort, maybe boiling in oil or something. But Peter evidently was crucified upside down. The Apostle Paul was put to death when he was in prison. In 2 Timothy, he says, the time of my departure is at hand. But I don't really like, does discipleship cost you everything? In a sense, I get it. Yeah, in a sense, you're yielding your own carnal desires, your own fleshly desires, but you're not yielding your heart's desire. Remember Paul in Romans 7? He says, in the inner man, he desired to obey God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems to me that if we are following Christ in discipleship, we're reaping the abundant life that Jesus said. Remember John 10:10, I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. When we deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Christ, we find that we experience the abundant life. Or Romans 8:6. In Romans 8:6, the Apostle Paul says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if we're carnally minded, we're on the path of death. But if we're spiritually minded, we're on the path of life and peace.
And so what you're saying is, if I want peace and if I want life, that's my desire,
right,
then I need to be his disciple. So I'm not giving that up.
Right.
That's my desire. I want what, could we say it? I want what's best for me. I
right.
want what is good for me.
Right. So, yes, I'm giving up those carnal desires.
Right.
But those aren't good for me anyway.
Right.
In other words, it's not like I'm losing anything that's important. What I'm losing is stuff that's bad for me.
Or not necessarily just bad, but how about not eternal? Like
that's a good point.
You know, like I'm giving up what this world has to offer.
Well, let's say if I had my druthers, I would play golf every
right.
waking minute of every waking day if I could afford it, right? I wouldn't, but let's say I could.
Right.
Or let's say I would hunt or fish. Well, those aren't sinful, but if that's all I did, my life won't have any eternal value.
Right.
I wouldn't be denying myself those pleasures. It seems to me recreation is recreation, and my recreation should be something that helps renew my spirit so that I'm more effective in serving Christ. So it's fine to play golf. It's fine to go hunting and fishing. Or in my case, I like race walking. It's fine to do all that. But we need to be careful we keep it within bounds, because too much time spent in that way and our effectiveness gets choked out.
Right.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2024 National Conference is May the 20th through the 23rd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones, great teaching on the theme of free grace in the epistles of Peter. There's VBS for kids, too. More information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
There are plenty of verses then that deal with the costliness of following Christ.
Right.
And what it is that we must be willing to give up if we're going to do that. For the example you gave, you know, if I really, really, really want to race walk all the time, I'm willing to curtail that in order to be a more effective servant of the Lord.
Yeah. And I've known several people who probably could have been Olympians, and they gave it up because they believed God wanted them to go a different path. One was a leading U.S. marathoner, a woman, and the person she was dating asked her to marry him, and he was a pastor and a missionary, and it meant if she was going to marry him, it would basically be impossible to go to the Olympics, so she gave that up. I have another friend who's a pastor, and he had a good shot at going to the Olympics in the decathlon, but he had been accepted at Dallas Seminary, and he wasn't willing to wait a year to start Dallas Seminary because he believed that he would be most effective for Christ in his lifetime if he went immediately.
Wow.
So
yeah.
He went. And, well, in both cases, they gave up something that was dear to them.
But a good point you made. But it was a wise decision. So in one sense, we couldn't say, well, they were giving up everything because what they wanted more, which was to be closer to the Lord, to be yeah. able to serve him better, their heart's desire, they did not give up.
Yeah, right? And in the case of this woman, she married a man in the ministry, and they've had a very effective ministry together now for about 50 years. In case of the man who didn't go to the Olympics and the decathlon, neither of which, by the way, would have been guaranteed. It still is difficult to get to the Olympics. But in his case, he gave up the possibility of going to the Olympics, and he's now been a pastor for almost 50 years and laying up all kinds of treasure in heaven. And they both had very fulfilled lives, and I don't think either one of them looks back on it and goes, you know, I wish I'd gone,
right,
given it the try and see if I could have gone to the Olympics. And so, yeah, are we giving up something when we follow Christ? Well, yeah, we are. But we're not giving up stuff that's essential to our happiness, our joy, our peace.
Okay. Well, now, Chuck does also ask another question we just spend the last couple of minutes
yeah.
on. He mentions being in a Sunday school class, and what he does here is you and I have both heard illustrations of what it means to believe, like getting in the wheelbarrow or getting in the boat, whatever the case may be. He had one similar to this where he said he was in a Sunday school class and the guy said, being saved is like parachuting out of a plane and Jesus is your parachute.
And so you got to put on Jesus.
Right.
And how do you do that? What did this class say?
He said the guy used the word surrender.
So you need to surrender to put on Jesus. And what did this guy say? Chuck, what did Chuck say?
Well, Chuck very correctly said the word surrender is not in the New Testament, which is true. You know, so it doesn't even occur. And it also involves work. Certainly if you say you need to surrender to be saved, surrender what? Well, right. I got to give something up. So he's right. But then he asks the question, is the idea of seeing salvation, of putting Jesus on, I think the way he words it is, you can trust in Jesus as your parachute. Is that a good illustration to use?
I don't like using trust as a synonym for faith because once I believe that Jesus is my parachute, I have everlasting life.
Whether
you put it on, there is no putting it on.
Right.
The moment I believe in him, I'm safe.
It's like the
forever.
It's like the wheelbarrow thing.
Right.
You
got
to get in the wheelbarrow to show that you really
believe. And then people wonder, I know how I get in a real wheelbarrow, but how do I get into the wheelbarrow that is Jesus? I know how to put on a real parachute, but how do I put on a figurative parachute?
Right.
It leads people to this weird stuff where they're wondering, no, all you do is believe. And a lot of people have a problem with that because they think, well, that's too easy. In fact, our March-April magazine, the cover is about easy believism. Is believing in Jesus really easy? I don't think so because most people in Christianity say, if you say that simply by faith in Jesus, apart from works, that a person is eternally secure, even if they don't persevere in faith or good works, then they say you're nuts. And they call that easy believism or cheap grace.
In a disparaging way, obviously.
It's hard to believe that because so few people believe it.
Well, we hope that helps you, Chuck, about the illustration and also about the difference between salvation being free and discipleship being costly. And until next time,
keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our next episode, is wrath in the Bible usually referring to temporal wrath or everlasting wrath? Please join us. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.